Okay.
But the conversation is whether or not you are going to throw it out. And I think the NPP has done very well bringing to center stage the issues of, no, we even admit as a party, NPP, that there are things wrong with it. We'll fix it in the coming years. We know that you didn't like double track. We know that you didn't like the feeding structure. Okay. We know, and then they discuss it. But the policy should stay.
Macy's Herald Square is the holiday destination and has to be on your list for holiday shopping and sightseeing. What's new? Macy's first ever holiday square by Urban Space, a one-of-a-kind wonderland of pop-up shops filled with unique gifts and irresistible holiday confections from across the city and the globe. Santa is here, so book your visit to Santaland now and shop Macy's exclusive collab with Disney. It's Macy's Holiday Square by Urban Space, only at Macy's Herald Square on 34th and Broadway.
Guys, it's finally here. Wendy's new salted caramel frosty. It's cold, salted, yet perfectly sweet, delicious, and it's at the top of Santa's Christmas list. What? Santa has a list too, you know. And he's a huge salted caramel frosty fan. Probably why he's so jolly all the time. The iconic frosty with a salted caramel twist? Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only at participating U.S. Wendy's. Salted caramel frosty flavored with other natural flavors.
Dubai is a magnet for global entrepreneurs seeking to leverage unparalleled opportunities, competitive financial incentives, and global talent and trade connections. Dubai's digital transformation sets the pace of change, from the cutting-edge solutions creating new possibilities to the green investments shaping a more sustainable future. Dubai stands out as a launchpad for success.
And they are not sure that if you bring in the opposing party, and let's not get it wrong, the NDC has an advert running, right? Listing the five or six things they will do to improve it, including private schools.
Okay.
So that conversation, it becomes so popular throughout the ages. And again, it's also a failure of strategy. You know the NPP will drum up free SHS. I think the NDC has not had a comprehensive response to it. Is the reason
for
why...
For the economy.
No.
I was coming to that.
How is that a response to an education policy?
No, I just want to know.
So today,
what other thing is coming up apart from free SHS? I thought 24-hour economy is a response to that.
If you ask anybody in the NDC, what is your comprehensive alternative to free SHS? Uh-huh. So no, it's not an alternative. It's an improvement we are proposing to it.
Let me make a point. In 2018, I remember speaking to Dr. Tony Edu. Mm-hmm. And at the time, he said something. He said, the NPP is stealing our votes. Why? He said, they are implementing Marxist policies.
Mm-hmm.
This is the point. If you are the NDC, your base is at the mass level. The NPP is seen as that elitist group.
Yeah.
There are some people within the NPP and even some people within the Ghanaian society who disagree on what Akufo-Addo really stands for. Is he a capitalist? Is he a socialist? Is he a Marxist? But this is the point. The moment the NPP's free SHS, the beneficiaries of free SHS, are not mainly those in the urban community.
Okay.
Because they complain. They complain about how I have to spend more money.
Yes. Yeah.
But the man in the rural area...
And you've seen the adverts of young students talking about how free SHS...
The man in the rural area. Let's say the man in Mpoho, who's a secondary school, Mpoho Secondary School, predominantly day and there are hostels, he can't take the child to a boarding school.
Yeah.
So you're a day student. If he couldn't afford to take him to school in the past because he couldn't pay the fees and now will tell him, walk to school, that person will say, free SHS is the game changer.
Okay.
That person in Accra who has a problem with free SHS may probably say, I am not going to vote. Who loses? If you are the NDC, you're thinking, okay, that guy won't vote for NPP, but then he's been able to get into my base. So there are some people within my base who now say that, okay, because of this guy, my child went to school. But the thing is that after four elections, free SHS should not be a major issue in 2024.
Exactly.
And that's why I agree with Ramon. It's a problem of strategy. Because, look, and I've said this before, but I don't want to dwell so much on policies 2 days to an election. But the person who's explained 24-hour economy so well is John Jinapo.
Okay.
And John Mahama.
How do they explain it differently?
Some of the best communicators of the NDC have struggled with 24-hour economy. The very first day I listened to John Jinapo, I said, well, this guy makes a lot of sense about the 24-hour economy. And this guy shows you that this is a policy that can be implemented. And then John Mahama comes up, explains it. But ask somebody today, what is 24-hour economy? The talk you hear is like the sloganeering of the past. 133. Then when he moves up to the next level, he says it is voluntary. Please. This is the point. So the NDC then allows the NPP.
Mm-hmm.
They start this whole conversation. Mahama will cancel free SHS. That's something we heard in 2020.
Mm-hmm. And we're still hearing now.
But that's something you don't see. That's something you don't even have to respond to.
Okay.
Because the moment you keep responding to these things, you are not giving the chance to tell us your own policies and programs. So they set the agenda for you. Then all you do is defending. Tell whoever says our council free SHS that he's a bloody liar. Then Akufo-Addo does that same trap over and over again. Akufo-Addo takes Mahama on. Mahama responds to Akufo-Addo. And Bamia is campaigning.
But one trap that the NDC is also falling for, or not responding to, is this bit about the Nkukon Kitinkete. And it keeps catching up. At least you hear a lot of people talking about it. Nkukon Kitinkete, Nkukon Kitinkete amongst. I'm sure you've heard it.
But I think
this is the reality.
In fairness, I don't think that's a key. See, there are slogans that are interesting to run around political. Mm-hmm. So all that you say is that, the guy's not saying anything.
Okay.
He's talking about Nkukon Kitinkete.
Mm-hmm.
What I hear them saying is that we'll give you chicks. Chicks should start to your poultry farm whichever way.
Yeah.
And again, Ghana, for God knows how long, we've had policies where governments have supplied chicks to even established farmers. Over the years, we've done so. In fact, there were times where people felt we were giving it to only party people and all of that. I mean, that's a different policy. Having to supply chicks, and this government has done some of that, supply chicks to farmers so that when the farms get better, they have eggs, they can actually have their own business and start from that pen. Winston has a pig farm, right?
Yeah.
Winston did not start with a 10-acre farm.
The prep was getting kids.
Yes, he started with a very small set. Of course, I'm not sure he bought the big ones to deal with. But, it's interesting. When you say Nkukon Kitinkete, it sounds like, this is not a very smart idea.
Mm-hmm.
That you, instead of telling people revolutionary things that can improve agriculture, anything big, you are going to talk about merely giving a few things to somebody and they will not survive on it. But the policy of supporting small-scale poultry farming has actually always been...
I'll get into the trend, but let me bring Israel, because the matter of strategy also... Okay.
As an expert, ask
poultry farmers.
Yes.
How they stock their farms. They buy day-old chicks.
Mm.
Day-old chicks from Holland, Belgium, that cost more than 20 cedis each.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you are fortunate to be giving, say 100-day-old chicks, you take that. I think that this whole thing about Nkukon Kitinkete, this is where you expected the NDC to actually sit down and explain the policy and ask anybody who's into poultry farming how he or she does his business.
Yeah.
I have friends who come to the airport all the time to take day-old chicks from Holland. And when the city appreciates, they complain.
A lot.
Right? Recently, we discussed the increment in kilo prices of pig. Why? Because the cost of feed is so high. So today it's moved from 30 cedis to 35 cedis. Mm-hmm. If you have someone giving you, you say you won't take?
When it comes to this Nkukon Kitinkete policy, I think the challenge that we have as a country is we don't have enough people willing to start small to grow something.
Mm.
So they look at it Nkukon Kitinkete and they would want to look down on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the challenge. Otherwise, if people were, that keen and eager, you know that if you get these day-old chicks, you can turn them into something else. Mm. That's the challenge I feel we have. And you look at all the businesses that are very popular in this country. It's about making a quick buck.
That's true.
But not waiting to go through, the grind and grow something and make it big eventually. So for me, that's the challenge. But one thing I want to also throw to you, since you're the analyst, I want us to look at the issue of the middle class and floating voters and how they're going to impact this election. I get the sense that we're having some floating voters who are deciding that they're going to sit out this election. And I also get a sense that it looks like the NPP in particular seems not so keen on going in or going after the middle class votes.
Mm. Rather?
No, everything works against the MPP when it comes to that group of people.
Yeah. Okay.
For example, that group of people is likely to be the group that suffered under the debt exchange program.
Yes.
That group of people understand and appreciate inflationary pressures very well. They know where we came from. They know that we got 54% under this government. They also know the impact of exchange rate on their business. That group of people are perhaps your most educated and bombarded with the factors. Okay. They are not the ones you can just say external factors affected the economy and they buy it, hook, line, sinker.
That's
want to waste all your time on the group
that
of people.
Same group of people are those who complain about free SHS.
True. It's because you see, for example, MFA, you know how you feed your child.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take your child to school and that standard of feeding is not being given to the child, you complain.
Yeah.
But if somebody is barely surviving in some small place somewhere in this country and they get to give the child three meals
or even
a day,
one.
See, the level of complaint will be different. Unfortunately, even though by our data we have become a bit urbanized, the chunk of our population are living in urban areas, it doesn't really mean that when we look at the poverty strata, the masses of this country there's a gap. The inequality gap makes policies like that, people at the lower level identify with it and want to push it further. On the other side, you would even think, oh, no, I want to take my child to a different school. I'm even pulling my child out of this system and putting that child into the IB system or any of the related ones.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, you are in the minority when it comes to registered voters in this country.
Okay.
That's why a strategic political party will look, oh, yeah, I've heard your views, but I want to go to the people who felt my policy more and tell them that it is because of this policy your child left senior high school, even though within your entire family, nobody's completed senior high school. That would make massive impact on them. So the dynamics are different.
Mm.
Even though the vote is still one per person, we are not in 1924. The vote is still one per person.
Yeah.
There's political strategist that is known as Lawrence Rees. He writes the book Selling Politics.
Mm-hmm.
And before we get to the trends, he talks about propaganda or political advertising. And he says they must be appealing and entertaining. His reason is simple. Feelings that are formed by emotions cannot be dislodged by mere reasoning.
Mm.
I would repeat, feelings that are formed by emotions
cannot
be dislodged by mere reasoning.
Okay.
That man there, who's listening to a child, saying, but for free SHS, I couldn't have been an engineer, it resonates with him.
This is a watch you sell us, boy.
Oh, this is the case. But of course, that's that side. But also because, like Raymond said, the NPP knew that in the urban areas, it was a no-go area for them because they felt the brunt of their policies.
Yeah.
So they are going to the rural areas, try and get into the base of the NDC. And that in itself presents an opportunity and an advantage for the NDC. Because if you're going into a base for the first time, trying to take that base away. If you're unsuccessful, haven't lost your base, then it means that you are suffering double jeopardy.
Mm.
And that person may just win one over you.
Talking about the middle class and the floating voters that you talk about, and you in particular, you know a lot about social media. I've been wanting to find out what the role of social media has been in this campaign period. We'll get into the trend shortly, but Israel, you've been monitoring it. We've seen all the conversations on X, Facebook, amongst others. Social media, did it really play any role when it comes to this campaign?
It is playing a role, but whether it's going to translate into votes as another.
Okay.
So there's if you look at social media and you're looking at X, Facebook, and all of that, you're having people who typically people will be anti-government or anti-establishment because they're speaking their mind. They've been affected. They are the people who have been impacted by debt exchange and forex and all of that.
Bondholders.
So they will do a lot of talking, but there's a difference between doing the talking or the tweeting and the social media commentary and actually going out there to vote.
Okay.
So that's a challenge. So yes, if you look at, if you look at polls that are conducted on social media, it looks like NDC wins.
A landslide.
Landslide. Yeah. I conducted a poll on my WhatsApp channel with about nearly 400,000 people. The outcome of the poll is clearly a landslide for, John Mahama.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not where it sits. It's supposed to actually translate, as in people should actually go out there and vote for the party if that's going to make a difference.
The kind of
and join queues. Also, mm-hmm. You see, these things are not just simple. So, first and foremost, by the kind of structure we put together, if you wanted to vote or register in the Ayawaso West Wuogon constituency, you have to go to the district office.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, by their structure of working, I mean, a very busy man in the office 9 to 5 would not get a chance to go and join that queue for 3 hours or 4 hours and struggle with university students to actually find his way onto that list. But he'll get 30 minutes on social media to be able to participate in this poll.
Yeah.
Secondly, you, after going through that exercise, on the day of election, let's say you are put in Legon Hall and you join a queue with 300 people already in the queue with all of your schedules and everything on Saturday, the calculations you do, the golf you have to play, the funerals you have to attend, and the options that are on the table, it puts a strain on you. You have to put in extra effort. You have to be so angry before you can step out. But some people on the other side have so much time on their hands. They are willing and they are active to do it, especially younger people who are going to vote for the first time and all of that. And the people who are induced by politicians to go and vote because they know that there is something to gain from the voting. You think it's a loss, even though you still want to punish somebody for them. But so you may stay out of it. Now, it counts. Because a single vote can actually tip you over the 50%.
Yeah.
One individual's vote. It's not plus a percentage point.
I and you're right. Even though I'm not Gen Z, when I see a queue, I'll go home.
Really?
Oh, yeah, go home. Chief, watch it. So,
5 a.m. people queue with stones some places.
Listen,
it's so important for them.
So when I go to Mpoho to vote, uh-huh. behind my house, that's where the polling station. I go there very early. So you walk in very early, mm-hmm. and try and get your to vote, and then you leave. Anytime I've voted, by before 8 a.m. I'd have voted,
mm.
because I always want to get in early. You know, some of the communities, people would have to go sell a thing or two. They have to go to the farm before they show up. So by midday, you know, the queues are long, but I always would go there very early, vote, and go home. And that's the problem sometimes, because to be very honest with you, I was having a conversation with one marketing professor who kept asking, are the Gen Zs really going to go out there to vote? Well, maybe they have a party and then they're tired, you know, they don't want to go. Well, Friday is a holiday, tomorrow is a holiday.
Friday night into Saturday.
They're going to be partying hard. Do they get to wake up tomorrow, Saturday morning, go join queues and go and vote? Well, people would go around mobilizing. Mm. But like I've always indicated, whoever needs this election the most would
rally.
Whoever needs it the most. And I've already made the point that if you are the NDC and you can see the NPP trying to get into your base, you solidify your base, you make the election very difficult for the NPP because the NPP knows that they are losing ground in their base because of some of their policies, particularly the domestic debt exchange, and the inflation, because for a lot of us, you know, we used to look at our salaries and we'll convert it into dollars. Today, you can't do that.
Mm.
Because if you try, you will cry and stop the
war. Yes.
Well, let's
Israel, I mean.
Sorry. Yeah, Israel is not. Why are you yes. As for Israel, no, it's not in our range at all.
Really?
But let's talk about the number of rallies we saw within this campaign period, as against what we've seen previously in the previous elections, and then the health walks that we've seen in this particular elections. It doesn't look like we've seen a number of rallies, have we?
I think we are recovering from 2020
mm-hmm.
because of COVID.
Okay.
I think COVID changed strategy. COVID brought a lot of digital marketing as part of campaigning.
Yeah.
Now, I think the political parties have still not really recovered to the pre-COVID times in their campaigning. Why do I say so? First and foremost, I see them seeking to pull out people, but they are not sure whether having to mount a platform somewhere and actually everybody come and gather is the best thing to do. Their numbers game now has always been to let's walk together, walk within the town, share flyers to people. They feel it's far more effective than having to call everybody. Whether and see that grouping, it's mostly people who you want that come there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't get the people you want to reach out to your message, except they are watching you on TV or other platforms to actually come there. So I think they are slowly moving to the other areas, but they do some of the rallies.
Mm-hmm.
There are places that they deliberately bring the people together and actually speak to them. I think the Ashanti region, for example, mm-hmm. has seen a lot of these rallies and walks coming together.
Yeah.
And again, one of the groupings that a lot of walks within the Ashanti region is the Movement for Change.
Yes.
Sometimes mm-hmm. I'm wondering whether they do it in any other region too. I've seen one in Konongo, in Koko, then so many other areas.
I've seen one in Accra.
Yes, I know.
Also did a concert in Accra.
Yeah,
I'm not sure
whether the energy they put it into their sanctuary
and the numbers,
themselves, and the numbers,
numbers
that they
showed up.
But you see, these things, me, if people wear t-shirts and come to a rally, I see them as your own. I want to see people who woke up on their own, hearing and interested in, that which used to be the standard, that journalists are appearing somewhere on the platform of the NDC. So women from whichever corner would like to just see him. That kind of politics, I'm not seeing that happening now. On their own, without any inducement, without any transportation, people walking and running to go and see candidates.
Are you using the rolling? You're setting the standard so high.
Yeah, so I'm saying that things are changing. So people need to take the message to the people rather. So they are choosing modules that will help them reach out to the people. And again, I also saw them do something that was very useful. Bob Bamia and Mahama met interest groups. They met them on so many occasions, sometimes to listen to them and engage them on policy.
Okay.
I had always had problems with the way we introduced blanket programs like free SHS, presuming that I will be a beneficiary of it, presuming that every other person would like the policy because it works out. But a plethora of policies, you know, is tailored to a grouping. When you discuss it with them, and they even give you suggestions. Now, I saw something that happened. Some of the political parties changed policies before it got to their manifestos, because of the engagements they had with some of these institutions, which was to me also very fruitful. I am seeing a time where a few of these rallies will be done. A few of them. Maybe a regional rally somewhere and a final.
It's like,
and
this is the major one that we are seeing today.
It's going to be coming through. Because, again, I am not sure even the one by the MPP on Legon campus, and I know how university students behave. If you don't go to give them the t-shirts and even promise them item 13, he doesn't see, frankly, he doesn't see why he's going to walk from his room and walk all the way to the grounds to come and see politicians.
So on the issue of the rallies that you raised, I was speaking to one strategist. I mean, this was before, it was sometime after 2016. And they indicated, just like you were saying, that if you have a rally, who are the people who are going to show up? It is not... I mean, it's going to be your core supporters.
They'll bust their supporters from all the constituencies.
So they are the ones who are going to show up, which is why my understanding is that in the 2016 election, when the coup candidate, Akufo-Addo, decided that they were going to go into churches, they were going to go into places where they thought that
the numbers are already gathered,
And they could attract the floating voters.
True.
If anybody comes to your rally, the person has their mind made up that they're going to vote for you. So it's not the person you want to go after. So where can you find the people who are floating, who are likely to change their minds? And which is why I believe that we're not getting as many of the rallies. But I think they also decide to use the rallies as a show of force.
True.
Numbers.
Yes.
See, using rallies as a show of force, you said it's your supporters. But the other reality is that people even entice people to show up at rallies.
True.
That's something that we all know. When I was a young boy growing up in Ho, I went to Jerry Rawlings' rally to see him. You know, everybody wanted to see Jerry.
Yes.
Then I went to see Kufo at a rally. But if you today you ask me to come to a rally, I only would show up if I'm reporting at that rally. But I'm not reporting.
That's why there's no wow factor. Why?
You are not the Winston you were 20 years ago.
Aha.
Which is why you wouldn't.
No, but somebody he wanted to see JJ.
Yes. But I'm saying that that person, that Winston 20 years ago, will probably still want to see the president.
Or
the
today, you see, today, people appreciate discussions to showing up at rallies. Rallies are to galvanize base. But even then, you sometimes would have to go and mobilize the people to show up there. But the retail campaign, as we've seen, and COVID taught us a lesson, but even Professor Mills, when he did his door-to-door, look, from 1996, when Jay Akufo lost the elections, he was Ghana's number one funerapreneur.
He attended every funeral.
And even once he had not been directly invited, when it came to his attention, this was big enough,
I'll tell you a story, briefly, of a young man in the north who went to a Akufo rally and lost his slippers. His family asked him to go home and to go out to town until he gets his slippers. The young man musters courage and goes to the night hall at that time and goes to Akufo and says, "I want to see Akufo," knocking on his door. "What's the problem?" He says, "I came to your rally and I lost my slippers. Now I've been asked to bring my slippers back." Akufo says, "Okay, wait. Go and buy the slippers for him. Drive with the young man in my car to his family house." He's driven to his family house in a Kufo's car. The whole family surrounds the car, excited. And in 2012, when they were telling me that story, that family...
How many votes?
For the NPP.
Wow.
So people appreciate the little things. What Atamils did in 2008, you're sitting there, he knocks at your door, comes there to talk to you, convinced more people than going to attend rallies.
Mm.
So people have seen it. And that's why, you know, people would use social media, Israel and his, you know...
Influencers
like social media and all of that. You know, people would send people around. And the NPP did it so well in 2016. There are a lot of people, I mean, around the country campaigning. The NDC this time have sent lots of people to the Ashanti region and other places. They've divided themselves. It would remind you, for instance, of the 2008 campaign, where Jerry Rawlings took a part of the country, Atamos took a part of the country, John Mahama, even Anakuido Ajman Rawlings, they were all campaigning. Because look, Obara Samuel famously said, Kufuor is not charismatic, but he wins elections.
Mm-hmm.
After Jerry John Rawlings, that's it.
Yeah.
It's done.
The charisma is gone. Well, let's head back to the Greater Accra region. We're talking about Ayawaso West Wuogon and, of course, Madina, the locations that both parties have chosen. And you've been telling us some interesting things about these two constituencies and how the two parties have performed over the period, for which reason they are choosing it for their final rallies, even though it's going to inconvenience a lot of road users and motorists today, at least those going to that part of town. But let's talk about it. Ayawaso West Wuogon again. John Dumelo and Lydia Alhassan's Ayawaso West Wuogon. Let's talk about how we fared over the period. What's the trend?
You can see the trend here when it comes to, you know, say the parliamentary, for instance. When it comes to the parliamentary, consistently, it's been NPP. This is now 1996.
Mm.
The NDC won, but by 2000, the court had ruled that the NPP's George Amo actually won that seat. So from 1996, when the NPP started contesting,
they've
consistently won the Ayawaso West Wuogon when it comes to parliamentary elections. But that's not been the same for, you know, presidential elections, for instance. As you can see in here, you can see 1996, the NDC won. In 2008 also, the NDC won that one. So when it comes to presidential elections, you can say that Ayawaso West Wuogon constituency is actually a swing constituency.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But with a parliamentary, it definitely isn't. That's an NPP stronghold. And not stronghold anymore. You can say it's close, but favors the NPP, isn't it, Raymond?
And you really can identify the kind of candidates that the NPP is forced to put up in this particular area. I mean, in all fairness, I try to isolate the more recent candidates for Ayawaso West Wuogon. Over the years, if it has not been a lecturer, he has been a very big businessman, a respected man, a pharmacist, or whichever grouping that they find themselves in. The NDC tried some of those candidates. And John Dumelo is, for example, a departure from the usual Ayawaso West Wuogon candidate. And even Lydia, even though, and people forget that Lydia has been a financier of the NPP in that constituency for a while, and her works have been known that she has supported, for example, Ejako, all through the campaign, even before Ejako.
Yeah.
The thinking has been that you have a candidate that reflects the constituency. So the likes of Ejako, people like Freeman Osel Parry. When Freeman was on campus and teaching, and when she rolled over to become the candidate, there were people who felt that the NDC should equally pick a professor or somebody from the school to match up so that there is no vacuum in the kind of people you put up reflecting the constituency that you find yourself. This time around, we have Lydia versus Dumelo, somewhat a departure from the kind of people that are mostly chosen. And whether or not that's going to work out, I have always said something like, if Ayawaso West Wuogon had NDC keeping somebody like Kingsley Wadako, who lost by less votes than John Dumelo did, it would have been very interesting to see the next election, which did not have a Jacko on board, how Kingsley Wadako was going to fare against the other candidates coming up. It was going to be very, very interesting. But Dumelo has had his fair share. He's going into a new election. You can see Dumelo has realized that you don't need to go and campaign a lot in Baolesi because that is your stronghold naturally. You will not want to leave East Legon because even though it's a large area and
elite,
but the votes there, that's the problem. The people may not come out to vote, or you can see a big house is only three people in there. You cannot count so many votes. Where do you concentrate most? On the University of Ghana campus and other schools in the locality that has numbers UPSA. Like Jinfa. Yes, it makes sense for you to concentrate on these areas. If you go to Legon campus, at some point, you had almost 34,000 votes from that campus alone. That is huge for a single area. If you're able to capture, say, now there are other halls of residence, you're able to capture, say, all the traditional halls of residence. And let's not get it wrong, for a very long time, there is talk that there was a time in Legon Annex B where almost 90% of the votes went in favor of the MPP.
Really?
Yes, a single big hall, a single big block. So on campus, it had traditionally favored. In fact, people even did the extrapolation and added the other campuses across the country. They added KUST, they added UCC, and said university campuses tend to vote MPP. So John Mello is trying to, if he's able to reverse that trend, if he's able to, that's why he spends a lot of time.
That's
there.
A huge task, isn't it?
It is, but see, people change.
Okay.
The students of old, and again, nobody can, and I know
especially
students.
When people say that most of these students are beneficiaries of the free SHS before coming into
in our elections. In our elections, in student elections, they have voted merely because this is a nice boy they are voting for.
Oh,
and I've given examples of Lom and Co before. Even Samuel Uku almost got away with that nice boy picture. So it doesn't.
Fine boy.
Being a superstar.
Hold on with a superstar. Because John Dumelo, you and I,
yes,
I mean, we can identify with him because we've seen a lot of his movies. When was the last time you really starred in a movie? The people you're targeting at the universities today, many of them, a few of them may have watched movies that he's in there.
But they are active on social media.
But these Gen Zs maybe watch movies
but
now.
This is the point. So,
the point I'm trying just on their phones on social media.
The point I'm trying to make is that when it comes to John Dumelo's popularity, the movies may not really do the trick anymore.
Okay? Not even the celebrity status.
Well, do these ones care?
Okay.
The ones at the university these days, is that what they're excited about? They're not excited about being a celebrity or whatever. Yes, they're excited about the fine boy thing, but the fine boy must come with a good budget too. Something that you need to identify with the group we're talking about.
You're encouraging vote buying.
I haven't said that at all. I'm saying that in today's Ayawaso West Wagon, in today's Legon, in today's Gimpa, for the people you are targeting, yes, it's good you talk to them. But what are the other things they do that you can do to show them that you're one of them? I don't know what he's done when it comes to that.
True.
But if the whole campaign is about visiting halls and all of that, it's good. But we've been on campus. And even we've seen times when we want to put propaganda on people. Look,
are you saying that there's propaganda already on the ground?
There's propaganda on the
ground. Yes!
What is the propaganda on the ground? So let us see.
When you stay a long time on campus, there are major accusations that are leveled against you.
The way I like us to look at Ayawaso West Wagon is, if we look at the 2020 election, it was quite close.
True.
And that's the spreads were not
40,000, 37,000.
I'm talking about the parliamentary.
The parliamentary. Okay.
And the students were not on campus at the time, right?
That's it. 37,000. That's not close.
This was close.
About 2,000.
39,000.
More than 2,000.
37,000.
Yes.
More than 2,000. But it's still close. Anyway. Matter of history.
Okay.
It's still close. And I've said the only time somebody beat this was Kingsley Wadako.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we have this. And then now we bring in the students factor, the fact that the students are on campus. Is John Dumelo going to be able to raise enough votes to actually then, you know, get over what Lydia Alhassan has had or had in the previous election? I think that's another way to also.
He needs about 2,000, 2,500 votes.
He can. But he may have learned his lessons.
Yeah.
Well, or between the two of them, who's likely to win more of the students' vote?
Two things. Lydia,
considering Lydia has three SHS beneficiaries to win.
Yeah.
I get you, but Lydia has even more resources. Lydia is solving real problems.
On campus.
Not the gutters, the silting, those are important ones. But, see, the problems that students go to school with are that it's almost deadline for me to pay up school fees and that I don't want to get into the penalty period. Who can help me out?
Yeah.
She has a desk. People will direct you to the
There's a reason
to
call her Ma Lydia, isn't it?
See, knowing her to be a financier in the constituency is not new. But if that help, as I know it to be, is directed, this is before this election period, to helping her constituents, including those on campus. A woman I thought would contest this election. She was on four different occasions the assemblywoman for the area. She has PhD from the psychology department. She told me about people thinking that Ayawaso West Wuogon is an elite place, so you don't have to spend. It's not true.
Mm.
There are people within and with urban poverty situations, especially when even they come to school, sure, that they have real situations. Now, that is what she prioritized. Because if there was a time, a word that caused policy was, let me engage you and debate you and show to you that it's not true the NDC doesn't have intelligent people.
Okay.
So that changed some people's thinking about the NDC, even fresh students and all of that. The policy of Lydia is that I will help as many as I can help. So, and that's the same policy that the chief of staff had on campus. So she was loved. You may not have personally known her, but if you're able to reach out to her office about you not being able to pay school fees and that you'll not be able to write exams, they will help out. That situation got a lot more love because roommates got to know. Roommates told other people too, and they realized that this member of parliament was not far from them and was engaging them. It is one of the most difficulties to break people from, that they've gotten real help from somebody and you think they will stop voting for the person merely because you have bigger or better policies to make the entire constituency better.
You know,
it is that personal touch that sometimes makes it almost impossible to break. And you talked about their background too. Now, the people who are in Legon today are predominantly the people who benefited from their fees in their high school. They may fight it. They may have difficulty with it. They may identify difficulties, as we were told this morning by the Justin 18 host. But they know how the policy fundamentally helped them. And it happens to be the case that when people transition to universities, it's either they become or they are more likely to vote NPP. So you are fighting against that background already. That they are, we are more likely to vote in the
parliament. All this is very interesting, but I guess on December 7th.
But just to also throw in that Samira Bawumia was also on campus.
So we can go to Madina.
We'll go to Madina shortly. I'm asking if that will also change anything or influence anything. Samira Bawumia's door to door on campus.
I'm looking at Samira Bawumia's impact, say, in voter hall versus in. Samira Bawumia went to KNU University.
Yes.
There's something that Bagbin did that I still remember. Bagbin walked into my room in Legon Hall and said, hey, get off my bed. I'm not sure he remembers that. It was an alumni period. So he said, get off my bed. And I recall that 100%.
Stuck with you.
Yes, because I knew him. I knew he was a member of parliament and all of that. But I didn't know that he was even in Legon Hall and on that particular bed previously. That touch works for some people, and the celebrity touch.
Yeah.
Because we can't take it away from the wife of the vice president. She's you know, she tends to have an impact on people.
So, Raymond, let me just...
I'm not sure how that will sit with the... There's a philosophy that Legon opposes women do not vote for the beautiful women. Or do not get influenced by them. On the other side, the nice boys get to be opposed by the Commonwealth boys. That has been a very old strategy.
Let me tell you something. So the NPP had done their own research.
Mm-hmm.
They had realized that it may not be so popular on some of the campuses.
Yeah.
They were trying to find out, how do we solve this problem? They did further studies and realized that, a lot of the people like Samira Bawumia.
Mm.
Okay.
So part of their strategy was to send Samira Bawumia to these campuses. And so it was always a study. They said, okay, let her go around the country. When she's done, we'll let her go through the university campuses and try to improve upon our performance in the universities.
Mm.
So it's part of the reason they sent her to, say, University of Ghana. She goes in there, she goes talk to the people. You know, sometimes, and again, the panel people who are in our universities these days, many of them may not be interested in politics. Some of them may be, well, it's not like our time that, you know, you want to sit down, engage and all of that. And then if she convinces you, you probably say, I would want to vote. But still, that was part of their, part of their strategy. And the NDC also sent that boy Basintele to also go.
Motor riding Basintele.
Go and try and get some, people from. Improve the NDC's votes in there also. It tells you that nobody is leaving this to chance. You know, the NPP won 14 seats in the Greater Accra Region. The NDC won 20, and the NPP will be trying to reverse that. So of course,
let's go to Medina.
You want to look at will be Medina, but this is the margin of victory. Mm-hmm. At the time, Boniface Abubakar Siddiq, this is an area predominantly Muslim, persons from the Northern Extract, and also Evers, and Francis Xavier Sosu, and Ever himself speaks impeccable Hausa, is able to communicate with the people. You have Lamte from the NPP coming in there. So if you're the NDC, and I said that the NDC strategy may be to send a certain signal. So if you go into a predominantly Muslim constituency, you go in there to show that you are one of us. In fact, you form our base. There is no need moving anywhere because we are with you and we have been with you all this while. You know, we had consistently said that the NDC's base was the voter and at the time, the three regions of the north. And so that's why I see the NDC going into Medina. I don't think that the parliamentary seat would be a problem for Francis Xavier Sosu. I expect John Mahama to also win in that constituency. But
he went previously.
Margin.
That's the point.
And I think that's perhaps the thing you should be looking out for. That if the NDC
is always a margin game when it comes to
if the NDC is not making higher margins in places it's winning, it is losing the election.
Okay.
Let's not get it wrong. If the NDC is not improving on the margins that it's winning, whichever place it won, it is indirectly losing the election because it's status quo. It's almost repeating the 2020 situation, which means that you are losing. Because when we repeat 2020, it will be lower vote for the NDC.
So you're expecting
at the end of the
much
day.
More than 61,000.
I'm expecting that if they're able to pull the numbers up and actually get more support in these areas, because there's evidence that you can get the numbers from areas like this. So if there's evidence that you can improve your numbers, then you should push hard at it and get the higher numbers. As I gave the example, when you finish with your 61,000...
And circle that for me. Circle that for me. The 61,000.
A place like...
You have the pen ready. Just go ahead and circle.
So, a place like, let's get it this way. So a place like Dominic Abinya can clear all these 61,000 votes. You forget about the 46,000.
All other things being equal.
Yes. because also in the last election, the parliamentary candidate of the NDC for the first time had 40% in Dominic Abinya. So it's a bit, you know, not clear in that particular case. Adra Safo from 68% descended to 58%, a massive drop of almost 10 percentage points in the last election.
Yeah.
That's what people suspected, that if Adra Safo continued, it might have been problematic. I'm not so sure whether the solution is bringing Michael Kwe Jr. on board, because everybody knows that Adra Safo family and Apostle Sabo's families and their impact on the campaign. So watch it this way. If 75,000 is there compared to the 61,000, yes, you can look at this number.
Yeah.
And listen, this performance is great. This is the first time beyond what they call it, 96, that the NDC has gotten 40%. This particular 40% is excellent. Every time they drop below 40%.
But in fact, let's look at something, Raymond, because look, President Akufo-Addo performed better than Adra Safo in this constituency. Okay, so let's just look at, you know, when it comes to the presidential.
The presidential one.
In 2020.
That's it.
Still Dominic Abinya. And you see that President Akufo-Addo does better. Okay? He does better. 78,000 compared to John Mahama.
So this is clearing everything in the area of Medina.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Why don't you get a figure like 78,000? Why don't you get a figure like even 65,000 or beyond the 60s in a way that you can match up Dominic Abinya so that the rest of the areas can fight over numbers?
Is that why they are massing up in Medina?
It is important you show up because you cannot get this.
Show or force.
Yes.
You cannot get these numbers in Dominic Abinya.
For the NDC to win the election, they must improve upon the original votes in the Greater Accra region.
True.
And over here, we're talking about this vote.
Yeah.
1 million.
3 million.
They must improve upon this. The margin of victory should not be this margin of
what
victory.
What are you looking
which
at?
Which is less than 70,000. So Greater Accra region, for instance, the NDC had 1.3 million.
Are you looking at 1.5? What are you looking at?
They should be looking at 1.5 million.
Yeah, massive.
And the MPP say 1.1. 1 million. You must improve upon your performance in the Greater Accra region. Send the signal. Because this is what happens. You see, by the time the NPP is done with this, watch this. Watch this. By the time the NPP is done with this,
600,000.
Okay, watch this. Okay, let's just do this analysis. Briefly. This is what? Give me the margin of victory.
1.795. Okay,
like,
so
1.1 million.
Watch voter region. 500,000. Okay. So that.
Okay. So when you drop 500 to 1.5, you just take half of it. Yes. It's still 500,000 votes.
600,000.
Yeah.
Check this. That's what you have.
By 100,000. 120,000.
You still have 480,000.
Yes.
What is this? 200,000. About 150,000.
Mm-hmm.
You still have 300,000. Come here. What is this? 76,000. You still have 200,000.
Mm-hmm.
Come to this place. What do you have? Just about 60,000. You still have 140,000.
Mm-hmm.
Come to this place. What do you have? 80,000. You still have 40 to 60,000 left.
And you are running out of places to be able to make up for the vote difference.
Yeah. You see how the NPP used Ashanti region to actually clear all the NDC's strongholds.
But the question one would also ask is, will the Ashanti region come out for the NPP as it has done in the past?
They are looking at 75%. NDC is looking for 35% in the Ashanti region. John Mahama is still wrapping up in the Ashanti region as we speak, heading back to Accra. Any impact that's going to make?
Maybe if we go to the Ashanti region.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go,
let's
to,
go to the Ashanti region.
It's the NPP may have difficulties at the level of the parliamentary end. Mm-hmm. It's not going to lose all seats. It is the problem with the gentlemen who are going independent and their slide votes takeaways. If a party has 65% of the votes in an area, now this is just as a
Ashanti. Yes, let me just give you that, the whole of the Ashanti. Is that what you want?
Yes, the regional one.
The regional one. Okay, give you that one in 2020. So this is the Ashanti region.
Yeah.
That you can
see. As a region.
72%. And in all fairness, 72% is not the greatest value that the NPP can get from the Ashanti
region. They said they won 75% this time.
Over the period, what happens is that if the NPP galvanizes more, if there is thinking that if you don't support us, we are going out of range. Let's not get it wrong. In 2008, Ashanti and Eastie together held NPP.
Almost did a trick.
Against the entire country.
Yeah.
Two regions. It was possible to hold the party together against the entire country. Now, if the NPP improves this vote, some say to even send 5%, it will be difficult. But if this 1.1 is reduced, like we're doing the calculation, by 300,000 votes, think about it.
Do you guys, by the hear, time, Raymond, do you guys hear Raymond say it is possible?
It was possible.
That's what I like.
No, I am saying that if the numbers here reduce by 300,000 votes, you know where we're going around. We reached the point where the numbers have reduced to under 200,000. That's where the difficulty will be for the NPP. So the NPP can make it. Their internal factors still operating. But there's something in the last few months that's been happening too. Ashanti is galvanizing. And Ashanti is galvanizing because they have exploited ethnic issues. They have exploited, if you let go of the party now, you will be seen as not supporting your own party.
Yeah.
The difficulties with, and those are not economic issues. And those have very little to do with, let me tell you what some my own family members say. Well, at first, we were not going to vote because the way they are treating the economy and all of that. Even when Alan came to the picture, some were very angry. The way they are treating Alan, it's not good enough. In the last few weeks, when you speak to the same set of people, if we don't go to vote, it will go away. And sometimes the same sort of people that were heavily complaining a couple of months ago, that is why Mahama is there. That is why Bamia had to do a quick trip back.
Have you had any candidates for the NPP spend as much as 15 days continuously in the Ashanti region? This is the stronghold. I've been wondering.
Yeah. No,
what is it telling you? What does it mean?
Because the NPP knows that if it loses and if it reduces this percentage to, say, 65%, it's on its way out of government.
Because the NPP can afford to lose Greater Accra.
True.
Central.
Yeah.
Western.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot afford to lose.
But as it stands now, they have Western, they have Central, at least from the previous election.
Yes. They cannot afford to drop votes in Ashanti.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're looking for an 85% voter turnout. And I've seen,
you know why that's important.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen,
we will push this 1.1 to 1.4 million.
And I've seen some people in Ashanti region actually sharing the special votes. The Ashanti regional communication wing of the NPP sharing the special votes to say 90% here, 85% there, 88%. It's an indication that we can actually, they say they would get more people turning out there to vote. Because the NPP knows that if they get 76% votes in Ashanti region and they get Eastern region to vote, the elections at worst, will go into a second round.
Okay.
If they get these two regions turning out to vote for them with huge margins. And the NDC also knows. So they sent all their people there to go and campaign and do what they also say could be some scheming from the NPP side. Stay there. Monitor them. While that's a good policy also, sometimes you forget other regions. Just like I said, when it comes to the NPP forgetting their base and trying to get the NDC's base, sometimes if you leave other places, because if you go to this region,
Northern region,
and this one, Northern region, something is happening there. Watch out for it in the election.
Stay in Ashanti region, because you've all mentioned that, at least been watching you count down to D-Day, you've talked about the fact that it is one of the battlegrounds when it comes to this particular election. But let me take you on the grounds and then check on my colleague, Michael Ashale. You know, there are three teams on the ground. One at the Legon Sports Complex and then the other at Medina. And then Michael Ashale is in the middle. You know, the security, the National Elections Task Force had mentioned that they are going to be stationed there to ensure that all the party supporters use a particular route, amongst others. There have been talk about congestion and inconvenience for motorists. Michael Ashale is checking on that for us. Michael, from where you are, what exactly is happening and what can you tell us? Okpongolo, I'm told. That's where you are, Michael.
So, MFR, we are currently at the Okpongolo traffic light. This is just opposite to the University of Ghana Stadium. Just about 200 meters stay, NPP are having their rally, the biggest rally for the year that will conclude their elections. And you realize that all walks of life definitely pass through this particular junction at some point in the day. For those who are coming from Medina heading all the way to Accra, Shashi and the likes, sometimes they have to be stuck at this place for about 15 to 20 minutes at a time before the police gives them the green lights to move ahead. At least I can count more than 20 policemen on this particular intersection alone. Because you have loads of buses that are coming through from all corners of this particular traffic light heading towards the Legon Stadium area for this. In the last 5 minutes, I've realized that the police have changed the strategy. If you're heading towards the stadium, they want you to use the University of Ghana main stadium so that it can ease some traffic, because many of them are stuck in traffic here for hours, for minutes at a time, and they feel that adds up to the traffic. So, true to Dampare's promise, his men are here. But one thing too that he promised that many people thought would not be possible was the flying of helicopters over the two rallies. I mean, shuttling between Legon and Atomic Junction and Medina. We've realized that these helicopters, I've seen two different ones, have been moving between these two places as well. So for the Ghana Police Service, it's a hectic job, it's a difficult one, but they are trying their possible best to also ease the traffic, especially for those who are 3 p.m. They're heading towards their home after Medina and the likes. It's difficult, but MFR is something that they are working on, and it appears that they'll be able to hold on to the traffic light as long as they can.
So live shots there from Okpongolo traffic light. For those of you who know that area very well, at least you can see the gridlock there, the traffic situation, and of course the helicopter surveillance by the Ghana Police Service showing force and showing that indeed they are ready for this as supporters keep on arriving to the Legon Sports Complex for the NPP rally. That's a major final rally. And then also in Medina, we'll take you there also shortly. They were scheduled to start at 12 for the NDC and 1 for the NPP. And it's one thing I'm hoping that we will talk about shortly, because if both parties and dignitaries for both parties begin to speak at the same time, what then happens in terms of the coverage and what it, exactly how we're going to maneuver and look at it. But that's something that we'll be talking about shortly. And at least they are getting ready for all the action easy. Yeah. So I'm wondering.
I'd imagine that, yes, we'll be switching between the two. Uh-huh. But then I know that
Mahama and Baumia are speaking at the same time. What happens if they are both speaking at the same time? Because it will start with General Secretary's speech, the chairman speaks, then Kufuor speaks, Akufo-Addo speaks, then Baumia speaks. Yes. And I guess the same for the NDC, maybe the running mates, the General Secretary, chairman, running mates, then Mahama.
And I get the sense that they'll be monitoring each other.
Okay.
Because they want to have the last say.
Exactly. The same thing I heard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you have Baumia speaking, then the John Mahama will probably hold on a bit to hear Le Baumia. But I'm sure Baumia too would also be saying, well, I want John Mahama to go first. So it looks like we're going to have a long night.
Well, so we've moved away from Chagbuna, where we used to have all the big rallies to the trade fair center. You know, that's where we all see the final rallies. But this time, we've been telling you why it has to be Ayawaso West Wogon and then Medina. We've been giving you all the dynamics, all the trends, these two constituencies, and why it is so important for the two political parties, the NPP and the NDC. We're also trying to see how we can maneuver it in terms of when the speeches begin. Yeah. And when all the talk on the podium actually begins. But we've been talking about the battleground, which is the Ashanti region. The two heads, the wise men, will join us shortly. They've been standing for a while. I need to take a quick break on this. Then we'll talk a bit more about the Ashanti region. Izzy, I was asking them about the fact that we've seen the two main political parties, the leaders, at least. It is the NPP stronghold. But Baumia had to spend 15 days in the Ashanti region. Elise, you've been talking a lot to people on the ground, social media, influencers. Amongst you, what was really the talk when you heard that Baumia is spending 15 straight days in the Ashanti region, when in fact that's a stronghold?
So that hasn't, you know, quite made it onto, you know, social media. Okay. But I get a sense that the MPP going into this election has been quite deliberate about making sure that they capture as many votes as possible.
Yes, I'm going now. Who is this?
And one of the things I say is indicated is the fact that they decided that we're going to have NAPO as the running mate. So because there are lots of people who, you know, there was a lot of issue about NAPO and the fact that he was in charge of the energy ministry, about Dumso and about everything else. And so people were of the opinion that he's not quite the candidate you want to, you know, use as your enemy.
Uh-huh.
But it looks like the MPP knew exactly what they wanted to achieve with NAPO. And so despite,
are you sure they knew what exactly they wanted to achieve?
Despite all, I think they really want to win as many votes as possible in the Ashanti region. Mm. And they felt that NAPO is the guy who was going to bring in the votes.
Mm. Now, but we're still on the NAPO factor.
Would he be able to bring in the votes? That's the thing.
Really, the NAPO factor, there's a lot, at least that one has made it on social media.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk on social media. At least you hear people say that it does appear that Baumia takes two steps and Baumia, NAPO brings him back like three or four steps. Really, what is the talk?
And again,
is it that people are just highlighting the negatives on NAPO's side? Is that the case?
Clearly, and another thing about politics is there are things that excite people.
Mm-hmm.
So to see somebody like NAPO, who people have had issues with,
do something or make a misstep, there are people who are keen on highlighting that. And they find it exciting to just do that. You can say, sort of trolling.
Okay.
It feels good to troll somebody like that because, yeah, you want to blame the person for, you know, some power outage in your area that you are, or because of the way people have seen him in the past, you're like, this guy, and you know there's this arrogant tag about him. So then the people feel that, okay, if you're that arrogant and you fall into trouble or you get into some issue, yes, we'll make a meal out of it. So I guess that's why Napo will do things and people would really highlight it.
How about his recovery, for instance? As against how President Akufo-Addo recovered.
I don't think he's able to recover. I don't think he actually makes an attempt to recover.
No, the Lomote recovery. Okay, well, the Napo factor, gentlemen.
Is he able to recover at all?
It's important to find out. You asked the question, why was Napo selected in the first place? He was selected to galvanize a base. He was selected to appeal to the party's core.
And the Ashanti region or the very core?
We want to find out, has Napo been appealing to the party's core? Raymond would
answer the question.
That in a lot of the areas, if you go to the party's core base, the things Napo says resonates with them.
Okay.
They may not resonate with those of us who are in Accra. A lot of things he says are things that resonates with them because, you know, every time political party candidates go to areas, they would have been told of the key issues of that area. And so, you know, there's a time Napo is meeting identifiable groups before he goes on to a rally. Mm-hmm. And then some pastors come to him and they say a thing or two to him. And the next moment he's on the platform. He says the things that you heard, and many of you are opening your mouth and saying, why did he say that? Well, you speak to his team and they tell you, oh, yeah, the things he says resonates with the people.
I see.
I'm sure if you were to go to mainland Kumasi and say that a political party killed pastors who are from the region, they would agree with you that that's the case. It may not resonate with us. So again, Napo was not brought in to appeal to the NPP's core middle class. No. That's not what I think he was.
Party base. So he's doing just.
When you take rallies to and what people, politicians say on and platforms, I was telling that, I was sharing that with a colleague the other time that when they speak on those platforms, they are addressing the people in the immediate vicinity. It's not really for those of you sitting in Accra. Except because, yes, we cover these things, we would take something. If I go to a rally wherever and Apo is speaking, I'll report on what I think Accra wants to hear or the country wants to hear, what I think will make news. But there's a whole lot that they often would say on the platform and you just pick one bit of it. But when they're speaking to the people, they are addressing the people and telling the people what they want to hear. Of course, one of the things they'll say that you pick as a reporter and you decide that you highlight it because it's going to make news if you put it out there. But as Winsing is saying, if you're looking at it that way, you're missing the point.
Okay.
Because the message is not meant for you. It's meant for the people who are down there.
The base. Well, since we're talking about Napo, let's talk about Nana Jane. At least, running mate to running mate. Impact. You'd say that there was a reason why Nana Jane was also picked. As against, you say Napo is actually doing why he was brought in. How about Nana Jane? Let's start with you, Easy.
I haven't felt her impact. But again, I may be wrong, because as I'm explaining with the case of Napo, Nana Jane may be speaking to people in some communities. He probably may not be getting as much, coverage and attention. Maybe she's not saying the kind of things that whichever reporter is following her feels that Accra should hear. And so, yes, we're not making much noise about it. But it could also be that maybe she's telling the people the kind of things they want to hear and maybe making an impact. We may say if you're looking at it nationally, and again, when we're talking about these things, we're taking it from our perspectives.
From Accra.
So you, me as Israeli, I'm looking at Nana Jane and I'm expecting that she'll speak to me, but maybe she's not speaking to me.
Well, Raymond, Wednesday, let's go.
Nana Jane.
Nana Jane.
frankly, I'm still not sure what their strategy with Nana Jane 2 days to election is.
Okay.
I hear them say that she's doing a lot of retail campaigning, a lot of on the quiet engagement with people. And I'm asking myself, where? Is it in the central region? Mm-hmm. So are we, see, Mills was known and from the central region. Mills lost the central region in 2004. It should tell you something. Again, you cannot really put Nana Jane in a category of, so we know Napo is loud. He may even say 80% of the time the wrong things.
Yeah.
But he's heard. You know where he's campaigning. You know the things he's saying to people in other areas. I mean, beyond the wrong things that he would say, we know that. I still cannot fathom what the real strategy with Nana Jane Opokwajman is.
Mm-hmm.
Is she supposed to still focus on intellectuals?
Okay.
Has she been meeting
women,
Zutag, or specific women groups in whichever areas that they're supposed to be? Has she, for example, been meeting with the identified women groups, powerful ones speaking out and on their own? It also appears that there is some blackout around her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would have thought the one who deserved the blackout was Napo Rada, really. Because the tendency that Napo makes some bombastic statement that's going to go viral and cause trouble is higher than Nana Jane Opokwajman. Distinguished professor, wonderful academic by all standards and qualifications. But you are not sure where Nana Jane Opokwajman is currently, where she was during the campaign, and where she has been.
Okay.
This campaign has been done on the back of John Mahama and the other people. I can bet my last bottom on the fact that Essien Nketiah has campaigned more than Nana Jane Opokwajman visibly and prominently in this election.
Maybe because of the coverage or the lack of coverage and
maybe
attention.
Maybe because it's a strategy.
Maybe, okay.
No, yeah,
okay.
Possibly. So
the strategy they say is retail campaign for Nana.
Okay.
I've met some of her campaign teams who told me we've been on the road for the past 20 days.
Mm-hmm.
Campaigning, moving from community to community, moving from door to door. That is our plan. We don't want her in the news.
Okay.
And that's what she's been doing.
But on that note, let me ask
this question before you take your break.
Yes.
Let's just put you within the spectrum. Who is more likely to speak to people door to door, get them to appreciate and understand issues? The professor or somebody else? And again, if you have engaged Nana Jane Opokwajman,
are you suggesting professors unable to convince?
No, I'm not saying so. I'm saying going to the grassroots to convince people.
But she would do the intellectual middle class conversations.
I mean, maybe we do not understand this strategy properly.
Okay.
Yes. Maybe
it looks like all is set at the Lagos Sports Complex. They are energizing the base. It will start very soon. But let me take a quick break. When we return, we'll join the dancing and the singing and the chobois.
Sisi Fia.
My brothers and sisters, as we approach this crucial moment in our nation's history, I urge each and every one of you to go out and vote in peace. When you arrive at the polling station, please do not waste time. Vote for number one. Fold your ballot paper neatly and place it in the ballot box. Remember, your vote is not just a mark on a paper. It is a vote for our future. Let us come together in unity and make our voices heard. Vote number one for me and the MPP parliamentary candidate. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless our homeland, Ghana.
Vote number one on the ballot.
Mahama once said,
I've seen more demonstrations and strikes in my first 2 years. I don't think it can get worse in the second 2 years. I have the dead goat syndrome.
Dada Noir. On December 7th, vote for integrity, competency, and development. Esuro O. Bahama once said,
I've seen more demonstrations and strikes in my first 2 years. I don't think it can get worse in the second 2 years. I have the dead goat syndrome.
Dada Noir. On December 7th, vote for integrity, competency, and development. Esuro O.
Indomine, ya konsaga de bonna inanye o. Ba yelenka ni iru mine na ranka ba fa atime.
Eh, yenka huwo nga yelenga mine ta.
Abie sesie puong. Ayeli chine anga woni vun. Nya amine no ba fomozun.
Che Ibrahim, ka anang be sesie po ba ulika ye mngala. Fo banka bere ayenga, nyeza na to die yelza in sesie po.
Lelo, ayelenga mine na bantu wa anana no piene. Ti Daniela ayelenga mine na mvenka zo mine santa. For tiere la yon ka anam paro, ayelenga mine da ven la kanoba santa. Te kon la ven ka ata mine la po. Ya ye katika are ti mine zye
mla. Tiere nye, bong na ban ven ka duru ga tori. Ka po, nobo boro kaba to dambie inti. Ayelenga mine ta na ban wele te la ti gana palo mpo. Nye, anga ulika ayelenga bayi yele mena togi togi. Ama nang ye nziri la, ama ng yare wien wien chela ta falong ming.
Yel mengala Abdullahi ndaba bankalela tibala sin kati welata na irula bar cheluku nzomine kabata yara ayelenga mine
yel mengala Ibrahim asin kati za man ban yelena tina na mande in asase epo kati man wanya ayelemine yaye kati man ka sarche de in asase epo lena venka in marum bet lankio po
yel mengala kafon wanya yele kan sore ta serche yele tilanta abare welta
zne Zirima ile yelpo na manwele tilanzemo huo. Tilanta abaruelta. Nye, kafuwa nye yelikang. Soreta che yeli. Tilanta abaruelta.
Phoenix Club!
Amazing women!
Phoenix Club!
Amazing women!
Thank you very much for having me here today. The nation builder John Mahama and Professor Nana Jane are bringing you the Women's Development Bank. Yeah. It is a very special bank run by only women to serve only women. The aim is to empower millions of women across the country. The bank will have branches all over the nation to provide you with loans with very low interest and on very flexible terms. Yeah. Madam, I run a small makeup and nail bar. Do I qualify for a loan?
No need to bother my sister. I mean hairdressers, market women, women-owned online businesses, female graduates, women in the corporate world, traders, agri, women in all fields qualify for loans. With John Mahama and Professor Nana Jane at the helm, the Ghanaian woman will surely rise.
Vote for change. Vote for John Mahama and the NDC.
Ah, if you're running the year, now, thank you, Muna Mujiji's Casa Mokotoy. Thank you, Muna Eli Kamahang.
Ah, oh no, see, so wait, my papa.
Now, papa, no put the Eli key. Patrick, I'm going to say, wait.
Oh, Ganafo, what number one from the new? If you're not going to say, what's your tank? The wounds you have won. So, Syntex Tank, Mr. SINTX. Intestine, a ye cough, a leaky. It's me with the beer. Intestine, call a beer whooper, size a beer whooper, ye yamma war. Intestine, the whole Ghana, ye must 7 years warranty. Intestine, a ye strong, a ye tough.
Mahama once said,
I've seen more demonstrations and strikes in my first 2 years. I don't think it can get worse in the second 2 years. I have the dead goat syndrome.
Dada Noir. On December 7th, vote for integrity, competency, and development.
esuru ho.
My brothers and sisters, as we approach this crucial moment in our nation's history, I urge each and every one of you to go out and vote in peace. When you arrive at the polling station, please do not waste time. Vote for number one. Fold your ballot paper neatly and place it in the ballot box. Remember, your vote is not just a mark on a paper. It is a vote for our future. Let us come together in unity and make our voices heard. Vote number one for me and the MPP parliamentary candidate. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless our homeland, Ghana.
Boot number one on the ballot.
Echa, once again, you are welcome. How is my nephew?
By God's grace, he's well. He's the reason why I came here today. Opa, thank you for sending us money the last time. It was very useful. As I sent it to your nephew in school to be buying food small, small. You already know the feeding challenges with ESHS and this. He's already home for vacation, and I need some help to enroll him in private classes.
But he just left for school a few weeks ago. I mean, ask what this your traffic license, I don't understand. And we have to cough money for extra classes in this economy.
Look, it's unfortunate the way we are playing with the future of these children.
Yes.
This free senior high school program needs to be improved. And that is where John Mahama comes
in. They say he's coming to cancel the free SHS comes to.
How can the person who started the progressively free SHS program cancel it? Rather, he is going to maintain and improve it by abolishing the double track system, providing dedicated source of funding, and include the private senior high schools in the program. You know, he's also going to decentralize and improve the food procurement to make sure that our children can eat good food while they're in school.
Echa, money can breathe.
I'm going to campaign for John Mahama because I want quality free SHS for my children. Enough of the traffic light.
Vote for change. Vote for John Mahama and the NDC.
If you're running the unit, now, thank you, Muna Mujiji is Kasamukoto. Thank you, Muna Eli Kamahina.
Ah, oh, no, see. So wait, ne papa.
Na papa, no, put Eli Ki. Patrick, yes, you wait.
Gara, what number one problem you? If you look at the water tank, the wounds you have more. So, Syntex Tank, Mr. S-I-N-T-E-X. Syntex Tank. Hey, you Eliki, it's me with the beer. Sintestan, call it beer whoopet. Size the beer whoopet. Yeah, yeah, my war. Sintestan, the whole Ghana, you must 7 years warranty. Sintestan, are you strong? Are you tall?
Hey, father.
Hey, yeah, yes, sir.
I don't know.
Potential Investment Real Estate Limited. Masa, I'm your good.
Wow.
You're into a sassy barco, a money patent.
Me buy my bill, yes, you are. You are promoting Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
I have been saying the hatches, OBS, young, come on, sassy money patent.
Two lakh. Police station, horn, my one on
your
call. Nine sassy, so be at the way, Pram Pram, Chan Hills, Afinia, Chopoli.
Yeah, but you also pass as Libya. A potential
investment real estate. Simple.
Pay L 054-119-6364. Juin Sukaum 024-236-5228. And I said 054-079-1800.
Mahama once said,
I've seen more demonstrations and strikes in my first 2 years. I don't think it can get worse in the second 2 years. I have the dead goat syndrome.
Dada Noir. On December 7th, vote for integrity, competency, and development.
soro ho.
My brothers and sisters, as we approach this crucial moment in our nation's history, I urge each and every one of you to go out and vote in peace. When you arrive at the polling station, please do not waste time. Vote for number one. Fold your ballot paper neatly and place it in the ballot box. Remember, your vote is not just a mark on a paper. It is a vote for our future. Let us come together in unity and make our voices heard. Vote number one for me and the MPP parliamentary candidate. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless our homeland, Ghana.
Vote number one on the ballot.
Phoenix Club,
Amazing Women.
Phoenix Club,
Amazing Women.
Phoenix Club,
Amazing Women.
Thank you very much for having me here today. The nation builder John Mahama and Professor Nana Jane are bringing you the Women's Development Bank. It is a very special bank run by only women to serve only women. The aim is to empower millions of women across the country. The bank will have branches all over the nation to provide you with loans with very low interest and on very flexible terms.
Madam, I run a small makeup and nail bar. Do I qualify for a loan?
No need to bother, my sister. I mean hairdressers, market women, women-owned online businesses, female graduates, women in the corporate world, traders, agri, women in all fields qualify for loans. With John Mahama and Professor Nana Jane at the helm, the Ghanaian woman will surely rise.
Vote for change. Vote for John Mahama and the NDC.
I'm a Ghanaian, and I love losing accredited aid. And I love democracy.
December 7th, Ghana is voting.
Only peace. Peace, I give it to you all.
I love Ghana.
Peaceful election, before, during, and after.
One Ghana.
Peace. Peace to everybody.
You are one Ghana. Ghana back.
This message brought to you from the losing accredited aid.
In a forgotten time, she ruled with a fierce heart. Amwenima, beloved goddess, destined for eternal slumber.
Is it a clone?
Forgotten by time, she awakens in a new era, searching for her place in a world that has moved on. Amwenima's era, rediscover the legend.
Kukudu, Kukudu, Ghana, the elephant is calling. Get ready for the biggest and the final rally for election 2024. Now say rally way, Yatundi say, the possibilities victory rally. Matthew 19:26. But with God, all things are possible. Ebaso, Yawada, December 5, 2024. Time, 1 p.m. sharp. Venue, Eye, University of Ghana, Sports Directorate Park. Na special guest, Amumba Jumedi Abi, Eye, His Excellency, Nana Adodankwa Ekufado, the President of the Republic of Ghana, His Excellency, Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia, the Vice President of the Republic of Ghana, and the presidential candidate of the New Patriotic Party, John Ajakum Kufuor, the former President of the Republic of Ghana, Honorable Dr. Matthew Opaku Prempeh, Honorable Stephen Ayesu Intim, Lawyer Justin Kodia Frimpon, Honorable Alexander Kwamina Afenyo Makin, Honorable Akosua Frema Osei Opare, and until all party members, sympathizers, and the general public are invited to participate in this historic program, which will be carried live on all media houses. NPP, Eshi Rado, 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 Rado.
Mahama once said,
I've seen more demonstrations and strikes in my first 2 years. I don't think it can get worse in the second 2 years. I have the dead goat syndrome.
Dada Noir. On December 7th, vote for integrity. competency and development. Esuro.
It's our special coverage of the two major rallies, final rallies for the NPP and NDC. I'll take you now to the Zurak Park in Medina, where the running mate of the NDC, Professor Nana Jane Opokuagyeman, is currently about to address the crowd.
Member of Parliament for Medina constituency, lawyer Francis Xavier Sosu, also addressing the crowd here. So if you are just tuning in, your life.
And that was the arrival of Nana Jane Opokuagyeman. I was hoping that it was the speeches. I was surprised that we're going to the speeches and just getting Nana Jane. Of course, we'll have to go through the General Secretary, the Chairman, all the way before we come to the running mate. So that's the arrival. And it does appear that in no time, we're bringing in JM as well. At least he's wrapping up. We're told he was supposed to wrap up in 7 constituencies in the Ashanti region before he heads to Accra. So I'm sure that we'll be checking with my colleague Maxwell Abogba where exactly the flag bearer of the NDC, Professor Nana Jane. I'm talking about Professor Nana Jane. We were talking about JM, John Dramani Mahama, heading to the Zurak Park in Medina. And just a while ago, we've been hearing from the MP. We've been talking about Francis Xavier Sosu a while ago and what his influence will be, even though he's been winning and that seat for the NDC, and it's about the margins. He's been telling my colleague that they would be getting, he's hoping the target for him is 120,000 votes for the NDC. So it looks like, Winston, your seating would be cut short at this point. Let's head to it and check on Medina
whether he can get,
whether he can get that 120,000 that he talks about.
Let's go to it.
Yeah.
Yes, the Greater Accra region.
Exactly.
Look at parliamentary 2020. Okay, there you have it.
But the thing is, what's the voter population?
Yes, okay. we'll look at it. We have all the details on that at the top. Medina. Yes, this is Medina.
At the time, valid votes 109,000.
Okay.
And that was a 72% turnout. He had 61,000, representing 56%. He says he's actually going to try and increase the votes for him. So this is it. 61,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay?
And this Boniface, 46,000. Now he wants to gain 100,000.
He says 120,000. Yes.
It means he's looking at increasing his votes by some 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have a voter turnout, Medina is one of the largest constituencies. So let's see what will happen. I would just wait. I like to do a wait and see. But let me be very honest with you. Francis Xavier Sosu would not increase his votes by 100%. It won't happen.
You sure?
It won't.
Why? Why?
It won't
that?
Happen.
Raymond, you agree?
By 100%.
It won't happen.
It's almost impossible for that to happen. Do you know why it's impossible?
Why?
See, the demographics do not show that this is not one of those constituencies where there is an absolute homogeneity in voting and thinking of the people. Medina, regardless of how people say it, is very, very mixed. You cannot sweep all the votes in the area with the thinking that every other person would actually subscribe to, not only himself, but also to the NDC.
But a while ago, you were talking about his influence in that
Raymond,
area.
Raymond, uh-huh. Let's do
no,
something.
We are talking about increasing votes.
Let's do,
okay.
But, you know, I mean, but this is vision.
Look, let's do something.
Vision, yeah.
Vision 120,000.
No, Raymond, let's do something. Okay, let's still look at Medina and look at the trends in Medina.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Look at the trend. When it comes to, you know, parliamentary, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, when it comes to parliamentary, watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Over the period, 50.2%, 55%. Let me just, second it so that you can get it.
Okay.
50.2
mm-hmm.
for the NDC. Then it gets to 55.5, 52.1.
And NPP mm-hmm. won it.
Then NPP won it 54.9.
Mm-hmm.
Then now you're looking at 56.6.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he got.
Yeah.
Now you're telling us, and at the time you're looking at a turnout of 109,000. This is 109,000. Okay, let me change the color here so you can see it carefully. 1 minute, let me just clear that and let me change the color. Take this one. So watch this. 109,000.
Mm-hmm.
If I look at this at 72% of 109,000, I'm looking at an additional 40,000, 35,000 or so, takes it to 144,000. Now it's around 160,000, 177,000.
Mm-hmm.
What is he talking about? He's going to get 120,000. The NPP candidate gets what? First of all, what will be the voter turnout?
True.
These are all the dynamics you have to look at.
You had 72.1% voter turnout.
So if you look at 30% of that, you're looking at an additional 35,000 or so, 30,000, 35,000, making it, at the time, about 140,000. Now you have a voter population of between 160,000 to 170,000.
Mm-hmm.
How is he going to get 120,000? Unless something dramatic.
Like what?
Something dramatic.
And he's not a candidate who pulls dramatic effects.
Exactly.
That's
So these are all the things politicians.
But look at presidential as against
voter
percentages.
And even the presidential.
Mm-hmm.
This is the presidential.
55%.
Once again, let me get you to the black color. You can see it more here.
Your black.
I like my black. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm wearing what looks like black. But this is it here.
What looks like.
Because we can dispute colors.
Okay.
But this is John Mahama, 55.3.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you may want to suggest that because in 2020, you had Boniface Abubakar Siddiq, who was a sitting member of parliament. Now that you have a new person, but Medina has consistently shown you something.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. The NPP consistently has been doing well in Medina. They get in the 40s. You're always in the 40s.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's something that you must understand. So if the NPP is going to be in the 40s, what it means is that you cannot get over 100,000 votes because the NPP will pull something about 40%.
Yeah.
True.
Essentially mere talk.
Yeah.
In constituencies where, and there are places in the Asante region where the NPP gets over 80%.
Yeah.
There are places in the Volta region where the NDC gets over 80%.
The price! According to your word, by divine authority, we declare, let every human devices of electoral violence, let every human devices of religious politics, let every human devices of negative predictions and pronouncements which oppose the presidency of His Excellency Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, let all these devices be overturned. In the mighty name of Jesus. And finally, we declare that our Father which art in heaven, let only your sovereign will, the counsel of God concerning His Excellency Bawumia and Ghana victoriously prevail. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you, Reverend. Let us say.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And finally we declare, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Bishop Aya, thank you very much for the powerful prayer.
Chobay, BJ,
hey. Oradia Kasa,
Onyamia Kasa. Let me submit to you, we have the former president, His Excellency John Atiku
Kufuor
in the house. Very soon, our leader,
I'm not going to be able to do it.
ye come up for kasa ye ready kasa ye tu ye bibia banyamianim ye di ye raba o mia banyamianim ye di ye rakufo banyamianim ye di nanadu banyamianim ye di napo banyamianim
his excellency
John Ajakum,
the legendary President Kufuor has joined the New Patriotic Party final rally. Chobei, 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 and that is Ampaya, Sampaya, Sampaya, Bide, Bide Nabuta, Chobei, Yatisa. Pacho mo mo bo fu fisela na munya butwa na muntie. Chobei. Chobei.
Former
national chairman of the New Patriotic Party.
Chairman Freddy
Blay.
Wasima Blay. Wasima Blay.
Chobei.
Macy's Herald Square is the holiday destination and has to be on your list for holiday shopping and sightseeing. What's new? Macy's first ever holiday square by Urban Space, a one-of-a-kind wonderland of pop-up shops filled with unique gifts and irresistible holiday confections from across the city and the globe. Santa is here, so book your visit to Santaland now and shop Macy's exclusive collab with Disney. It's Macy's Holiday Square by Urban Space, only at Macy's Herald Square on 34th and Broadway.
Slow down. Slow down.
KCB.
I like this.
Slow
down.
We are.
Osuno Manyokuo, Osuno Kokroko, is going back to the Jubilee House. Chobei, Chobei, Baby Ayedi, Yebetusa. Naya Fred, the regional chairman of the New Patriotic Party in the Greater Accra region. Now on the welcome address now, and the chairman Divine Agoutu.
Chobei, Kugrudu.
Let's
Excellencies. Nana Addoankwa Akufo-Addo, the President of the Republic, Your Excellency Alhaji Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, the Vice President, the flag bearer and leader of our beloved party, Your Excellency, our First Lady, Your Excellency, our Second Lady, the Chief of Staff, Running Mate, Honorable Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh, Your Excellency, the former President, John Ajekum Kufuor, the National Chairman, members of the National Council, members of the National Campaign Team, Honorable Ministers of State, Regional Party Executives, members of Parliament, Metropolitan Municipal and Chief Executives, CEOs and Deputy CEOs of state institutions, parliamentary candidates, hard-working constituency executives, volunteer groups, and campaign team members at all levels, the media, ladies and gentlemen. It is an honor to welcome you all to this historic rally, the grand climax of our 2024 campaign in Greater Accra Region. This gathering is a reaffirmation of our collective commitment to securing victory on Saturday, December 7, 2024. Our campaign officially began on the 7th of February, 2024, when our candidate, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, launched his visionary agenda for Ghana, titled Bold Solutions for the Future, at the University of Professional Studies, Accra. From that day, we have relentlessly marched across the length and breadth of Ghana, spreading our message of hope and innovation and transformation. Today, we are here to send a clear message to all Ghanaians that we are ready to deliver a brighter future under the leadership of His Excellency, Alhaji Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia. Fellow patriots, our beloved nation stands at a critical crossroads. The challenges we face require a leader who is bold, innovative, and transformative. That leader is His Excellency Alhaji Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, a man whose track record of competence, foresight, and hard work speaks for itself. But let me be quick to remind all of us that victory will not be handed over to us on a silver platter. We are up against a familiar and determined political opponent. There can be no room for complacency, no time for sitting on the fence. We must rise to the occasion and seize the moment. This has been an unprecedented campaign. Dr. Bawumia has visited all 16 regions and 276 constituencies. An unparalleled feat in Ghanaian political history. This level of dedication demonstrates the seriousness of our cause. But let us remember, the work is not yet done. Ladies and gentlemen, reflect with me on the events of 2008 under the leadership of the Venerable John Ajekum Kufuor. The MPP transformed education, health, economy, and infrastructure. Despite this remarkable and stellar achievement, we painfully lost the elections. Why? Complacency. We assume our accomplishment alone would win the day. 16 years later, we cannot afford to repeat that mistake. This is our call to action. Each of us must take responsibility to mobilize our base, our families, our friends, church members, classmates, colleagues, and neighbors. We must ensure they come out in their numbers to vote. Every vote counts, and every effort matters. I must take this moment to salute the tireless efforts of our national, regional, and constituency campaign teams, our communicators, our volunteers, and the many individuals who are giving their all for this cause. Your sacrifices have brought us to this point, and Ghana will forever remember your dedication. The Akufo-Addo administration has laid an unparalleled foundation for progress under the Fourth Republic, from free SHS to massive infrastructural projects, groundbreaking digital transformation, and an unprecedented social intervention. But Bawumia is the only candidate capable of building on this legacy and taking Ghana even to greater heights. Today's rally is aptly named Possibilities Victory Rally. Let us leave here fully energized, fully committed, and fully convinced that victory is ours. Together, let us make history and secure a resounding first round victory for His Excellency Alhaji Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia and the MPP. Long live the MPP. Choboy!
A moment of silence.
Very much, regional chairman. Now, daughters of glory, Jesus, are you ready? Before you come, Ayawasu was war gone. Are you here? Ayawasu was war gone. Are you here? Let's welcome the member of parliament for Ayawasu was war gone, who is going to retain her seat. Seat in Wajiaboso. Honorable Lydia Sayam Alasa.
You see, I do me, I do me, I do me a shrum, yeah. You know, they say I be better past anybody. They say, what's wrong, what's wrong? And you're born, so, you know, the big chance pass me by. So make it do your best, and use your sense. I saw the stress since I woke up first, try to know you.
Excellencies! The former president of Ghana, President Akufo-Addo. Our incoming vice president, Dr. Napo, and your beautiful wife. The chairman of our party, leadership of our party, my regional chairman, executives of the party, my colleague ministers, colleague MPs, party members, executives here, coordinators Amoha, police station for Amoha,
he's gone.
telling you, we talk about
the NPP party is the only party that has the people of Ghana.
It is
yeah party APP party yeah in a promo say you back call your name say Ghana my back call your name and die come so your name senior APP government APP party yeah prioritizing education your name senior yen sending in a enyepe senior ye ba abaimo na technical schools ni na ye empty na ye nianom a omontu me ko ss ye nianom a omontu me ko university na ka wo mo e kechre APP government e equip invest heavily and APP equip all the technical institutions and ukoha ene ukwa technical schools nye na ehwa yemma gu ho bebre APP government e prioritize health ene constituency moha prisons for omoni hospital nyamia don constituency moha APP abai AC hospital e de ama prisons for ewa constituency APP abai and prioritizing Emma MPP about and making sure sir Emma ni meme nyina benya equal opportunity Emma scholarship Emma 50% Emma Emma 50% Emma MPP about and amaye kwakwo ya president ya former president and introduce you free batida and na Dr. Baomi Anyame Adom na Muma Mbe President sir. Oba be biemu bebre. Oba be biemu MPP abai Ghana ma eda ya koma so. Enoti. Yeah, sister. Foreign minister. Ede na MPP abai ya. Ene nyame adom. Ye yi nia oda koma wata noa. Na eye Ghana MPP oba o Ghana MPP oba Novinho na mi etrako de Dr. Baumia oba nye president nyongo mega fukpa gohe nyongo pango yiyi Beno nyone nyongo yenye nyele Dr. Baumia fadeji wakpo devyoji wakpo miyapa suku nyaoji wakpo miyapa doa nyaoji ye miyapa damna miya minyaba December 7th and shoraka kwe chodom yele miyashima miyapa ungo ido wakpo ya MPP government wo letu yama Never me at the Kukuna Miba Migaba or Mr. Karako. And Ugoyi, Yanga Mila Tiama. Ugoyi, Yanga Dole, Bemia Wolf. Niamo, Miba Fagia, Bamia Bakpo, Mia Papa, and Munenyo, Yakoyapa, MPP Party, Yako Miachi. I was always for gone. Monsha and pneumonium, Castilla, APP party, Edia Shamo, APP, I say, and pneumonium, yeah. say rally 275 constituencies. And I decided to say, Baba, you rally. Me patcho, who fear, who quite wow. Sorry, I'm not power. Sorry, never done MPP, I'm by MPP, I'm by a brave amamo. Miss Lemo, my name's Emmy Constituent. Mumu bebre, matua kotina baby. Miss Lemo, Saturday, ye hear someone in Mubaba, Abetu Aba, Edia Mount Puntuno. Monsha Mo Constituency, Monsha Quine, Monsha Jumadia, Yadamase.
Thank you, Honorable Lydia Sarah Malasa. Daughters of glorious Jesus.
So
our parliamentary candidates in Greater Accra, get ready to be introduced.
Wave it.
Daughters of glorious Jesus.
Wave it. Wave your handkerchief. Wave it. Wave your handkerchief. When you are peja wansa, peja wansa. No wave. Wave it. Come on. Yes, sir. Hey. 1, 2. One, two, three. Come on. Come on. Wave your hand at the press. Come on. Hey, yeah, you know, yeah.
Hey, you are, yeah. Get out of here. Come on,
Claim it. Jesus say,
I see you. Honorable Natoshiado from Getaka, I see you. All our parliamentary candidates, come and give us a good wave. All our parliamentary candidates. Honorable Patrick Boma, I see you. Our parliamentary candidates in Getaka.
Boma!
Yes, the Honorable Patrick Boma.
Get it.
Honorable Asla Ousu Ekufo. Come and give us a wave.
Madam.
Honorable Hanukota.
Honorable Asla Ousu.
The Madina Mafia.
Robert Lampton.
Robert Lampton Madina.
The gentleman.
Come and give us a wave.
The gentleman. Yes. Honorable Harry Party. Madam Gloria Ousu,
Gloria Ousu.
That is the boy.
Joseph Ado. Lada Nico Topo. Lada